Welcome to the Self-Help Workshop with your host, John Farr, episode 39, Go With Your Gut, Then Keep Going, with Lauren Dreyer. All right, self-helpers, welcome to today's show. So today we have a fun one. We have our guest. She is a mindset enthusiast with a passion for helping people work through their mental blocks. She has just released a book titled the title is Go With Your Gut, Then Keep Going. And today she's going to tell us about her book and some tools, tips, suggestions maybe to uncover blocks that we may have in our lives. So welcome to the show, Lauren. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And I love the mindset enthusiast. You know, I love that that piece in your intro there. And, you know, what's that mean to you, mindset?
Mindset to me means having a realistic mindset. It means that we don't always have great days, but we can find the silver lining in things. We can find the opportunities through hardship. And some days that's really hard to do. But having a good but realistic mindset, because not everything is all sunshine and rainbows, like some people like to make it sound. And that's kind of my thing is, you know, you can have a positive mindset about a lot of things, but you can also have a realistic mindset when you're having a rough day and, you know, you think, okay, I'm absolutely having a rough day. How do I find an opportunity to make this day successful in the way that I want it to? How do I find a way to bring this day out positive when you may have had a rough morning? Something like that. So mindset can be a lot of things, but that's kind of how I like to swing it.
Okay. And this is what you practice in your life?
Absolutely, on a daily basis.
On a daily basis. So your book, Go With Your Gut, Then Keep Going. Tell me about that. Tell our listeners about that book. It's a great title, by the way, because, right? I mean, that's the advice you'd get from your grandmother or something, right? Just go with your gut, you know, and don't give up. And so I like the title, and I'd like to hear kind of how you came about. I'd like to hear about your book and how that became the title, like how that became the quintessential message, I think, you know.
Absolutely. So when I very first started writing this, it was because I wanted to be a professional speaker in personal and self-image. And I thought, okay, I grew up, I was born with birthmarks. I grew up with scars from about the time I was 6 years old. And so I'd always had that, like, every time I look in a mirror, that's what I saw. I deal with it to this day. I look in the mirror and, you know, everybody else sees something and I see scars. And for the longest time, I thought I look different. And so I kind of caught myself mid-20s or so, mid-late 20s, thinking, okay, I don't really have the confidence that I want. And I discovered that I thought it came from a lifetime of negative self-talk in my childhood and throughout just the rest of my life up to that point. And so I thought, I decided I want to write a book and I want to be a speaker to inspire people to build their confidence from the inside out and not necessarily base, you know, their self-worth on what they look like on the inside, because a lot of people get very hung up on that. And so I ended up taking a very deep personal development dive. I found myself waking up angry. I'm not an angry person. I never was. I woke up angry, and that just shot my whole day, and it just spiraled down. And I started writing in a journal, and I found that writing in a journal every morning about whatever I was thinking, whoever I was mad at, the things I was excited about. 10 minutes later, my thoughts were processed. I wasn't angry anymore. I realized a lot of the things that I was frustrated with were things not worth being frustrated with. And it started to change the way I thought, the way I even treated myself. And like, okay, you know, if I start spiraling downward in my thought process, if I start thinking I'm not good at something or whatever the case may be, how fast can I catch that and change that thinking? So as I went on this personal development journey, I started listening to positive things, and I started being around people who spoke energy into me and lifted me up, as cheesy as that may sound. And eventually I said, you know what? I'm like, I want to talk to self-image people, and I want to inspire that. But now I want to show people what it can do to your life to be able to change your mindset, to be able to pull yourself out of that downward spiral, and to be able to look at the positive things and realize that it is your choice. It is your choice as an individual, what you believe, what you think. If you let somebody else ruin your day, that is a choice that we each have individually. And it took me a long time to wrap my head around that principle, because so often we head into something and we just want to find somebody else to blame anything that happens to us on. So I decided while writing this book that I said, okay, I wrote a whole bunch of memories and everything, like all the lessons I was taught as a kid, all of the things that led up to what made me lack the confidence. And all of a sudden I'm like, I want to help people learn how to do exactly what I've done. And naturally the book started out being named The Road Less Traveled, because that's what I felt like I was taking the road less traveled by being a speaker, being a writer, doing all these things that are decently tough to do and tough markets to break in. But I just had this fire in my gut, and I'm like, this is what I need to do no matter how long it takes me. And so I kept getting opposition, whether it be from my own brain saying, yeah, you can't do this. This is really hard. And I just have this gut feeling of keep going, keep working through, keep figuring it out, keep telling people I'm doing this, whether you like it or not, whether you support me or not. And that's where the title came from. And that is where all of my steps came from, of all the tools that I used, my journaling. I learned to lean heavily on my faith. I learned to lean on my mentors, the people that lifted me up, the people that said, you can do this. You can absolutely do this. It's going to be hard, but you got this. So that's kind of a short-ish nutshell of how the book came to be, what I do, and why it is that title. Because I have a firm belief now of, no matter if you want to do something, let go of anybody else's opinion, no matter who they are, go with your gut and then keep on going.
Thank you for that, for sharing that. And so what have you found by following that advice, your own advice?
I have found that new things that give me fire. I have found that I am excited to do things. I have found that I am so much happier with myself. And there's a chapter in the book that's called Recovering People Pleaser, because I've always been somebody that I want to drop whatever I have. If somebody asks me to do something, and I want to go do it because I want them to be happy with me. And then, you know, that would turn into this tailspin of, I need to get all these other things done. I'm going to be late, and I despise being late. And all of a sudden, it started saying, no, I want to do this. Or if somebody would kind of give me that nod of, okay, good luck with this, you know, something to that extent, I just say, okay, I'm going to work on this. Like, I'm sorry if you don't necessarily agree with what I'm doing, but this gives me fire. This gives me excitement. This gives me energy. If I stop in the middle of my day and work on this, or write, or listen to a podcast or something like that, all of a sudden I've got energy for the rest of my day. So like, if, like, you can tell me what I'm doing is stupid as much as you want, but there's somebody out here that needs to hear my story. There's somebody out there that needs to benefit from all the stuff that I have been through. And so every time my brain tries to be like, no, you can't do this, I laugh at myself now, because I silently say, nope, sit down, shut up, and we're going to keep going. Because every time I keep going, something comes through. Something new happens. And I'm like, okay, this is just another sign that I am supposed to keep doing this. And I full on believe that I am supposed to make an impact in someone's life. And it's definitely not going to be easy, but I will get there.
All right. So can you, with that on your journey, were there times where you know, is there any specific times you can recall, like where you just really had to focus on, like, trust your gut, where there's sometimes you were just like, I you know, where you're in opposition, you just were resilient and trusted your gut above all. I'd just like to hear maybe like a, if you have any specific situations that maybe people could relate to, you know.
Absolutely. So I highly enjoy social media, and I enjoy sharing my struggles with people, whether I know them or not. I enjoy all those sorts of things. And for a long time, I told myself I spent too much time on social media, and I tried to tell myself that I didn't like it. And eventually I said, you know what, this is going to be a great stage. And so I started to post things that maybe some of my family that was going to see it didn't necessarily want me to post. Or I'd say, you know, if you're struggling with this, I feel you. Here's the thing that I was struggling with. And I did that a couple of times, and I'd post a couple of videos. And another day, I would get a comment from a family member, and they'd say something to the extent of, you know, it's hard to watch, not because they disapproved of it, but because, you know, maybe it was like watching me perform something and they didn't want me to fail. And maybe they were like, well, you need to do this, or you need to do this, or, you know, you're sharing some really deep stuff. And I'd say, yeah, you're right, I am. And they'd kind of say something that got to the point of, people don't need to know all of these things. People don't need to know all of these details. And I said, yes, they do. This is the point of what I'm doing. I want to be vulnerable. I want to share some of my guts and my struggles, because, like, that's, people don't, life is not polished. Life is hard. It's messy. And people see on social media all these people with their, you know, perfect lives, and that's not what it's about. And then I put up a post and I said, you know, yesterday was rough, or last week was horrible. Like, here are the things I went through. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear that somebody else is going through that too. So they would see that. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry if you don't necessarily approve of it, but I'm going to keep doing it. And it was really hard for me to hear that, because I mean, I, like a lot of other people, I want approval from certain people. And I've had to learn to release that. I've had to learn to release that and say, this is what gives me fire. I love putting this stuff out there, knowing that somebody needed to hear this. And it was really hard at first. I had to take a deep breath, push submit, post, and I had to walk away for a long time. And so that I'm like, people need to see this. It's out there. Too late. No turning back. And it got easier. And I am not past that fear. I push myself through it every day. But there have been a lot of times like that I'm like, okay, I'm like, somebody is going to see this. And, you know, one of my friends or my family might get a comment from somebody like, oh, what is Lauren doing? You know, why is she doing this? I know why I'm doing it. It doesn't matter what they think. I can't control anybody else's thoughts. So after telling myself that I can't control thoughts and it is what it is, I've learned to enjoy it. I've learned to be like, yep, I put it out there. If you don't want to look at it, scroll past it. That was a big step for me to get past.
Yes, absolutely. And there's certain things, you know, so a couple of things I was listening very intently, and there's a couple of things that come to my mind and that I constantly like to remind myself is that everyone's journey is different, right? And so social media can, you know, give us this persona that we're all on the same journey, and it's, you know, being off from the grind and vacationing or getting a trip out. And it's great to see that. And I've seen some amazing photos people have posted and some great stuff. The reality is, though, everyone's on their own journey, and I that's the message I got from you, is that, yeah, everyone's on their own journey, and you're putting this stuff out there, you're being vulnerable, and you're not putting it out there, you know, for the approval of your family. Would you like to have it? Absolutely. Sure. Of course. Who wouldn't? Though you see the bigger picture that you're called to share, and you feel that's going to help be a benefit to some people, and that's why you do it. And so, you know, and so you're trusting your gut and doing it anyway, right? And just do it. So that's great. And that's not easy to do, I don't think, especially when you're talking about deep stuff. Now, I mean, I've gotten to the point where, you know, I don't even like to use the word deep, because I feel like that's subjective. What is too deep for someone? I feel like, you know, I love being in the deep end of the pool and having the big philosophical conversations. That's a great starting point for me to get to know someone. So I don't, you know, I try not to be judgmental. So I don't even like to think like, oh, this is too deep. But I do get it, that it's above the sugar coated surface of what most people put, you know, on social media. And so that I totally get. So tell me about the journey of writing the book. You know, so you felt this inspiration to share these stories and what you've learned. So tell me just that, you know, because that writing a book in and of itself is its own accomplishment. And you know, a lot of people say that. I've heard many people say, oh God, I just, you know, would really, really love to write a book. I've written a couple books, and I don't consider myself a writer. But so I can appreciate everyone's journey of writing a book, because it's different for everyone. And I know some brilliant people, absolutely brilliant, and they still haven't finished their book, and they're like 20 years on a book. And so, what was your journey like, your experience of writing a book, and what came into, and what did you have to draw upon, that was in your book to help you get through your book, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It started out very well. It was entirely therapeutic for me, which was interesting because I had to look back on a lot of things, and it actually helped me let go of some things that, for whatever reason, I was holding on to that really weren't serving me. But it helped me to process some of the memories that I had that maybe I hadn't gotten the chance to do that before. And it started out just me saying, okay, like going through early life and through, adolescence, or here's what I experienced in high school or college or afterwards. And my brain was so scattered with all these different thoughts. And I remember trying to organize them. And I just started writing in a spiral one day, like, I remember this, and I don't remember how long it took. This is probably 4 or 5 years ago. I had tears streaming down my face because the more I thought about it, the more I thought I hadn't even realized that this might have affected this person in my family or this good friend the way that, who knows how it affected them. Like, I was that young. I was, being told what to do by my parents, my teachers, whoever. And so I finished it. And well, first I tried to start writing it 3 times. There's that. And I had a conversation with somebody, and I said, I just can't get past this. And it was somewhat of the beginning of it. And I was talking about, the people in my life, my neighbors who I was close to growing up. And she said to me, the books that need to be written write themselves much more than you trying to force it. And I thought about that. And then she goes, it's your story. She goes, a lot of people are part of it, but it's your story. And I thought, okay. So she goes, I encourage you to write no matter what. And I mean, I'm kind of in your boat. I'd never considered myself a writer, throughout my life. I'd written some stuff and, fun little stories for myself, but I'd never done anything. And so I started writing, and then I think I sent it to my mom, and I was like, what do you think? And she goes, well, there's some things in there that probably need to be changed. And so I rewrote the outline completely, and I rewrote the whole thing. And I said, okay, this is a little bit better. This is a little bit more organized. Then I met another friend who has a degree in creative writing. And I didn't know that at the time. And I met her, and I was like, oh, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm writing a book, and I think it's pretty good. And, I have all of my ideas down and what I want to say and the message that I want to get out. And she goes, well, let me take a look at it. Okay, sure, let me know what you think. And I had sent it to a different friend of mine. I am part of a Toastmasters club for the public speaking skills. And a friend of mine in there was an English teacher. And she goes, yeah, I'll look at it for you. So 2 people looked at it, and they both said, you've got great ideas and a great concept, but the message is just a little unclear. I was like, okay, well, I didn't think it was, but okay. And so then I got on a Zoom call with my friend who is the editor, and she goes, here are the things that I see. And so she goes, you might think about writing it this way or organizing these ideas. And then I met a publisher, and I said, yeah, I'm having apparently a little bit of clarity issues. And I talked to her, And I said, you know, there's just some personal things in here. And she, and I was like, I want to get some of these details right. And she said, let me tell you something. She said, it's not necessarily in the details. You're writing to let people know your memories and your experiences and how you lived all this stuff, not necessarily like concrete facts of this is how it was and this is what happened. She said, everybody has their own story of it, their own experience of it. And she said, you need to write what your experience was, what your thoughts were, you know, how it affected you. And I said, you're absolutely right. And that, those two things, those two people allowed me to say, okay, I'm going to write this and I'm going to hope everybody who reads it, who I'm close to, understands where I was going and what I was doing, because it may not all be accurate per se, but it's how I experienced it. It is, you know, what I'm getting out of the things that happened to me. And that may be quite uncomfortable for some people to read who experienced it with me. And so the ending result, I had to come to terms with, I'm going to put this out. It shouldn't make anybody in it feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably going to be a little bit deeper. And some of my favorite phrase right now to use for it is, there's no blood in it, but there's a lot of sweat and guts that went into this. It is a very deep, personal, and you get into some of my, the times where I had to say, okay, I'm having some doubt. Somebody's got to help me through this. Somebody has to give me something to keep going, because rewriting it three times was a huge task. And honestly, it probably needed to be written over three times, because it let me kind of process everything through in a different way. And getting it out has been incredibly rewarding, because I know that it will help people. I know that it will give people hopefully the confidence to say, here's all the things that she's been through. I can relate. I can do this. And to know that life isn't perfect, and we're going to have our bad days. We're going to fall off the wagon. We're going to have to pull ourselves out of some rough times, but it's all worth it. And it's a daily thing. And once you get in the motion of how to figure it out, it's so much easier than having to start that momentum. And hopefully it'll give people the boost to know that if I can do it, they can do it.
Sure. Right on. Yeah, right on. So you end up rewriting your book three times. Wow. that's, and listen, you know what? And everyone's journey is different, right? And so I'm sure there's people that have rewritten their books, you know, 10 times, or, you know, I think Tom Petty had a song that he recorded, I want to say it was 48 times.
Oh.
Ended up becoming a hit. That's a hearsay, so it's anecdotal. I don't like, you know, if you want to go to Wikipedia and check it or something, that's fine. But it just the point is that that's what needed to happen. And mm-hmm. and you know, you were willing to be open, you know, ask other people. So let's talk about when you take that vulnerable, you make a vulnerable request, right? Hey, can you read my script? My draft, and that's you know, it's a vulnerable request, and That's the hard part, right? When the response, you know, like, oh, geez, you're a terrible writer, or you don't have it right, or what did you say you wanted to do again with your career? You know, like you get those kind of responses, and it sounds like you got very, very good feedback. But still, how, you know, tell me about that process of just the mindset you need to get feedback, to absorb the feedback and then make decisions regardless of the feedback, whether you liked it or not.
So that, it's probably a very good thing. Kind of like you said, it's a process. And I found myself, it actually was not very hard for me to ask people to read it and give me the feedback, because that's one thing that Toastmasters is very good at teaching you, to accept the feedback on how you can improve it. And my friend that was the writer, I think, was a little nervous to get back to me, because she said, you know, so many people consider this like their baby. And I said, you know what? I'm like, I'm confident in what I put in there, but you're there to help me make it better and tell me what ideas I need to expand on and what things I need to change, or where I, you know, what changes I need to make, like that. The hardest part for me was not even going through some of the edits, but sending it out to people when it was done and saying, okay, like I'm really proud of this product. I'm really proud of what's in here, the ideas, the concept, and it is my personal journey. It's my life. I'm really proud of all this stuff. And I'd say, okay, you know, here's this. Let me know what you think. And then you wait. You wait for them to come back and say, oh, it was great. Or, you know, you're sitting there thinking, oh God, they don't like this. They don't like what I put in there. And I've found myself a few times in the last few weeks saying, you know what? Not everybody is going to like it, and that's okay. If it helps people, even some people, that's my goal. And I'm probably going to get some criticism. I've already gotten some, but I'm confident in what I put out there. So they, you know, if they're going to bring me back some criticism and say, I didn't like this, okay, great. That's how I can change how I help people or present to people. That's how I can shift that. Because like you said, everybody's got a different journey. Everybody's got a different way of thinking, a different way of feeling, a different way of absorbing the information that we're given. And what I put in the book was very much of, this is how I perceived everything. This is how I remember it. This is what I did to change it. So, you know, whatever criticisms people have, okay, great. Let me use that to shift how I'm going to help people. Or if they love it, fantastic. It helps you. You got something from this. So going at it with that perspective, instead of thinking everybody is going to hate it, nobody's going to like this, because that doesn't help me, it doesn't help anybody. So I'm trying not to jump also to any conclusions of wondering what people think, because.
Well, yeah. Well, so let me just throw a phrase out there.
Yeah.
Who cares? Right.
Exactly.
It helps them. I mean, listen, I'm going to be blunt. You're doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it to share your story. Some people say you write your first book for yourself and then you write your other books for your audience. I don't know if that's true or not, but I can kind of see that you've got that whatever's inside you got to get out, and you're doing it, you know, maybe it is for yourself, and just it's a gift for other people to share. And if you know, it reminds me of the phrase, what's it say? It's nobody's business what someone thinks about you. And it's such a freeing concept, because listen, leaders don't get, you know, one thing my mentor taught me is that leaders will never have full agreement. And so, you know, it's like with your book, just trust your gut and keep going. And, you know, if you want, you know, if you want to, if you're looking for accolades and all that stuff, you know, there's better things to do than write books, because it's tough. I mean, everyone's a critic. And
everyone.
And books are beautiful. It's a great form of expression. And it's not, and like you said, it's not easy to write a book. Have you heard of Robin Sharma?
I have not.
He's a personal growth trainer, teacher, philosopher. He's an author, writes a lot of books, and he shared one time, I saw him at an event, and he shared a letter that his first book that he self-published, and he sent it to a number of publishers, and he kept the letter, and they were just like, yeah, dear Mr. Sharma, we read your manuscript, you know, la, 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 and hate to say it, you just, you know, besides the pure grammatical phrasing and all this stuff, we just feel like, you know, this is just you just don't quite have it as an author, so but you know, but keep trying. And he was just like, no, I'm putting this out there, and it became, you know, a million plus, you know, copies, you know, seller. And so I think there's a lot of stories you can find like that. And so
yeah, I've actually heard more than I care to hear of people with that, with a similar thing of, I sent it to the publisher and they said, try again, we don't want this.
Yeah, you know, that. So
million copies sold now.
Yeah, so let's go back and reframe what you said about the, because I think the one that publisher gave your editor, whatever it was, gave you some great advice, is like, tell your story, you know, through your, you know, the word I came into me is lens. So, you know, we see reality, right, through whatever lens we have. And you've, you know, you talked early on about self-image and how you've had to change your self-image, work your confidence. You've realized your confidence was related to your self-image, and that you worked through that, and journaling was able to get your anger out. And it's that lens of how we're looking through things. And yeah, we all have our own lenses that we're looking through life. And so, you know, your story will relate to a lot of people, and it won't relate to a lot of people. And so, you know, that's life. That, you know, that is what it is. And if you stay at it long enough and you keep honing your skill, you'll find ways to really relate to more people. I think, you know.
Absolutely. And one thing that has drastically helped me, I think, in my journey is with that lens idea, is learning to keep my own lenses on and live through that. Because with every person we have in our life and everything we have going, it's so easy to take someone else's opinion and all of a sudden that, like, we have to go on that instead of being like, okay, I'm gonna hear what you're saying, and I see the point in it, I see the thought behind it, and I know where you're coming from, but I'm gonna choose to not agree with you, and I'm gonna choose to do something else. I feel like so many people live their life according to other people, according to how other people want them to live it. And once you can break that cycle and live for yourself rather than somebody else, we all have people to take care of. There's that.
Sure.
But living for yourself and how it makes sense to you, once you can grasp that concept and I don't know about master it, but learn how to use that, live by your own values, your own lens, your own, like, this is how I want to live. This is what I believe in.
Well,
once you can figure that out, your views of things do a 180 flip.
Sure. Yeah, well, the thing with the lens is you can only see the world through your lens. And so all you can do is change your lens by working on yourself, by reflecting, by doing the work. And like you said, you're seeing the world differently now than you had before, but that's still like through your lens. You're just changing your lens. And so everyone has this reality they're living in. So this podcast is called The Self-Help Workshop. And part of our goal, our mission here on this podcast is really to provide stories, ideas, suggestions for people to better their life. And so what, you know, if there's a takeaway from your book or something that someone could practice, or if you could recommend or suggest, you know, it doesn't have to be from your book or just your personal experience, or both, what would that be? You know, so if we were going to workshop this, all right, we got a group of people here and we're like, all right, heard Lauren's story, go with your gut, then keep going. All right. So for the workshop today, here's what we suggest you give a shot if you want more resilience, more mindset, you want to trust your gut. What are some of the action steps someone may be able to take?
The first action I would take is the first action I did take, and that would be, mine was journaling. Some people hear journaling and think, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Find a way to, whether it be running, writing, whatever the case may be, find a way to get your thoughts down. Because every morning I go through here's a reflection of my past day. Here is the things that I have going today. Here's the things that I'm frustrated with. And when I actually physically write it out, it helps me to process through and be like, yeah, that's not worth being mad about. That's not worth this. The other two things I would say is find some sort of spirituality to lean on, because that has come to be such a crutch for me to use, is learning to channel the good things. I'm a Christian, so I believe in prayer so much, but learning to channel that spirituality of how it works for you. And the other thing, which sometimes this is a little bit harder to grasp, is letting go of what we think of ourselves in a nasty way. Maybe figuring out the root of that, but letting go of that, and then letting go.
Are you talking about limiting beliefs?
Yes. That's the word that I couldn't find. Letting go of the limiting beliefs that you have on yourself and that you project. I've been horrible in the past about projecting and what people thought of me, what people thought that I could or could not do. Letting go of all those and saying, I know that I can do this. And it's up to me to do it. It's not up to anybody else. So only I can make the change. Only I can do this. And everybody's got to live for themselves. So letting go of the other people's judgments. People are always going to judge you. Letting go of that judgment and letting go of your own judgment.
Okay.
Because in the end, we are our own worst critic. And letting...
Well, we're the inner critic, and we have the front seat, front row, you know, so we shout, we speak the loudest, you know.
Absolutely. And that voice in your head gets really loud sometimes, and learning how to shut it off when it's bad and channel the voice that is leading you to the life that you want or what you want to do or where you want to be.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to just play with you for just a second here. So if, so you journal just one time and it's good. It's like a miracle. It's gone. It's magic.
Nope.
Magic journal
Depends
book.
Depends on the day.
Depends
Some
on the
days,
day.
I have a real rough day and I find myself pulling it out again in the afternoon or locking myself in my room at night if I'm having a really rough day and just writing down like, okay, I don't know what's going on. This day sucks. Why am I having such a hard time with it?
Gotcha.
It's going to be different every day. Some days I have a half a page. I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some days I've got two full pages and I am a hot mess.
Yeah. So the key there was frequency.
Right.
I wanted to just kind of get the frequency is it's yeah. So for the workshop today, we're going to take a page out of Lauren's book and we're going to journal. Let's work the practice of journaling. And I think if you do journaling consistently, because from my experience, you will touch upon your spirituality and you will certainly get into your limiting beliefs and give yourself an opportunity to examine it. And so journaling is definitely a tool I can get behind. And I definitely think, and get over whatever stigmatism you have against journaling. You're not like, you're not Mark Twain sitting under a tree, you know, writing poems unless that's what you want to do. But that's really not the idea of journaling. It's the idea of releasing whatever thoughts are circulating in your mind that you kind of want to not be. So it's kind of like if you have a song in your head until you hear the song, you can't get it out of your head again. Right.
Yep.
So journaling's kind of like that. You got these, you're angry or just, you're like, then you just journal about it. I'm angry. I just have this anger. And then next thing you know, you're like, okay.
I've found, well, and it is a scientific fact that if you physically write it out, mm-hmm. it does help your brain to process.
Sure.
But there's something.
In cursive, right? In cursive.
I haven't done that. I'll
oh, in cursive. Yeah. In cursive. Yeah.
People have such a hard time with journaling because I've had a couple people ask me, like, how do I start? And I'm like, you grab a journal and an old spiral and you start writing. And I'm like, I've kind of developed my flow of this is what I start with. This is kind of where I go with it. But it doesn't have to, it's not expensive. Go buy a 50-cent spiral journal at Walmart or pull the one that's been sitting on your shelf for 10 years and write.
Yeah.
Write on a, you know, whatever you have, the back of a paper. And the more that you do it, for the longer time you do it, you'll find that you have clarity. You have less anger. You have more intention of how your day is going to go. And it's exactly like you said. You start doing that and you end up channeling everything else really without even expecting it because I sure
right.
didn't.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's the power of like you said, writing causes thinking. There's something magical about you know, from your mind to your hand to paper, and yeah, it's something that works. I mean, it's you said it's been proven that journaling can be a very effective tool. It's good for your brain, your brain health. It's just good. It's good to have quiet time where you're just alone in solitude. There's a lot. I mean, we could just kind of dissect it. The idea is it just works. And for the show today, that's the call to action is get a little journaling going in your life. So where can people get the book? Go with your gut and then keep going.
It is available currently on Amazon. I think you can download the Kindle app for free on pretty much anything.
Okay.
So you can do that. If you don't want to do that, it is available via PDF form on my website, which is livelifewithlauren.com. So it is available on there. I am working on getting it available paperback. It's not yet. I'm working on it. And then hopefully within the next couple months, I am going to go record the audio version so people can hear it straight from me and hopefully get that up sooner than later.
Okay, livelifewithlauren.com. Well, great. So you're going to have all formats covered. You can listen to it. You can have it wherever you want, 24/7. It can be omnipresent on your device, or you can just hopefully soon get the hardcover and just go old school. I love
it. Absolutely.
Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's a pleasure to talk with you and to hear your passion, you know, for your subject and your sincerity and authenticity on your topic. I really, that's great to have you on, and I appreciate you taking time and speaking to our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So for the Self-Help Workshop, I am John Farr, wishing you all the best. Take care.